I want to ask you to take God's word, if you will, and open it up to the in the book of Psalms to number 40. Psalms 40, I want to read the first three verses. I'm going to be reading from the King James Version. God's word, I think whatever version you've got, it's going to be in agreement with where I am, and you'll be able to follow along with me. Psalm 40, verse 1. David says, I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me, and he heard my cry. He brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock, and established my goings. And he hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. Now, I want you to notice three words that are in that passage. I waited. I came out of a horrible pit. And I've got a new song in my heart. That ends well, doesn't it? Amen. Ends well. I want to say good morning to you. Welcome you to the hill. It's good to have you here. I'm starting a new series this morning, Trusting God in the Dark. And by the dark, I want you to understand what I'm talking about. I'm talking about those periods of time in our lives that every one of us go through when you're in a pit of life, and you don't understand why you're there, but you know two things. You know you're in a pit, and you know you can't get out of it. And that's where you are. Beth Moore wrote a book entitled Get Out of That Pit. She writes on the cover, Straight Talk from a Former Pit Dweller. Now, you may or may not pick that up. I think you would pick it up because it's a provocative title. When Beth began teaching this subject and going around doing that, she said, the women that would come to her Bible study, she said, these were women who wanted to grow in the Lord. These were women whose lives were marked by a consistent day in, day out, seeking after the things of God. She said, these are the kind of women that would attend this seminar. She said, but when I shared about the pit and the things God taught me, when I would ask these women, how many of you would be honest to say that you are in a pit? Now she said, remember, these are the cream of the crop type Christian women. These are the God followers. These are the women who want everything that God has for them in life. She said, you would be amazed. Every time I asked that question, how hands went up everywhere. From these women who had a close walk with the Lord, these women who were in God's word on a daily basis, these are the women who said, I am in a pit. I'm stuck and I can't get out, and I don't know what's going on. Beth's conclusion was this. This will give you some comfort as you look around to those sitting around you. She said, Christians, you and I are good at pretending that we've got it all together. We're walking in victory. Everything's just great, and we're in a pit. And we're pretending. And so the thing about it is, I think that there are different kinds of pits. If you get out your life point outline, pits in the life of a child of God serve a lot of different purposes. In other words, if I'm in a pit, if you are in a pit of life that you cannot extricate yourself from, it's dark, you don't understand why you're in that pit, it doesn't make sense. I want you to know that this morning, even though there are a lot of different kinds of pits, what I want to focus on is this. I want to focus on the pit that you are there and I am there, because this is where I've been, that you get into a pit, and the purpose of that pit is to teach you, now watch this, to wait on God. Amen. To wait. And in a day of microwave ovens and instant meals and all that, that's not easy for us, is it? We would be surprised this morning, I think, to learn how many of us are in a dark pit. And I believe the reason God has put me here in this is because a lot of us are in that pit for the same reason. God is wanting us to learn to wait on Him. And the reason He does is because He wants to put a song in your heart. And that song is, I've got good things planned for you. And even though you can't understand what's going on in your life, I'm seeking to teach you to not get ahead of me. I'm seeking to teach you to wait on me because I have a plan. And I am working that plan out. But you're going to have to wait on me. Now this series, as I said, comes from my own personal struggles. I've been through some dark times these last several weeks and months. By God's grace, I've been able to get up on Sunday morning and talk to you and minister to you, and I'm very grateful for that. But what I understand is God has had me where He is so that I could talk to you, so get it. But it's not only that. I needed it for myself, too. But in my journey of darkness and gloom, I want you to know I needed help. I needed some people to come alongside of me. And sometimes it's called the lonely whine of the top dog. You know, when you're senior pastor, you can't go unloading on everybody around you. It kind of overloads their circuits. They're like, oh my Lord, if he's having a hard time, what's going to happen with us? And so I've learned a lot from men. Some of them have already gone to be with Jesus and they left their thoughts behind. Men like the late Dr. Stan Coffey, Jeff Shreve, who serves in other places across America, Dr. Charles Stanley, he's a little well-known guy that's around somewhere. And I've just been kind of sitting under their tutelage and just letting God minister to my soul. And so I just want to this morning give back to you some things that have helped me. And I hope that you're going to leave here this morning and it's going to be a joy in your step. Are you going to start that journey? All right? So if you get out your life point outline, the first thing I want you to notice is the principle of waiting on God. There's a biblical principle of waiting. Now, so if you're struggling in your walk with God this morning, it's very likely that you've had thoughts like I had, things like, I can't keep going like this. My life can't keep, I can't keep living like this. I don't know what to do. I don't know what I'm supposed to do. I don't know how to extricate myself from this. If that's been what's been coming out of your mouth, I want you to listen very carefully. Don't wander in your thinking this morning. Look at the truth in your outline. A strong tendency to give up may indicate that God is teaching you to wait on Him. So if you've been thinking about tossing in the towel, whatever that means, however that would play out in your life that you tossed in the towel, you're thinking about something, about giving up or whatever, I want you to understand the reason you're doing that is because of all the process that's happening inside of you, God is actually seeking to teach you to wait on Him. He's wanting you to wait on Him. And waiting on God is a clear teaching of Scripture. And every child of God ought to expect that you're going to be taught many times during your life, wait on me. Psalm 27, verse 1. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and let your heart take courage. Yes, wait for the Lord. Now, notice what we're told. For me to follow God on a day-to-day basis because of everything that's happening in the world and everything that's happening inside of me and the things that God wants to teach me, if I'm going to keep on going with God, if I'm going to keep on learning from the Lord, it is going to take on my part, I'm going to have courage and I'm going to have to reach down and I'm going to have to grab a hold of some strength that I may not realize that I have that actually is going to come from an understanding of God and what He's doing in my life because it's going to give me courage. Because here's the deal. As I journey to heaven, as you journey to heaven, there are going to be times you're going to have to trust and you're going to have to believe in the unchanging character of God despite how you feel and despite what you see. And here's the reason why. I look at the truth in your outline. Our flesh nature fights against the ways of God used to develop our faith. There is a war going on inside me and you on a perpetual basis. That old flesh nature that we were born with, it fights God. Listen, how often have you maybe used the word never lately? Things will never change. It's never going to get better. I'll never get married. I'll never have a child. He will never. She will never change. God isn't ever going to answer my prayer. That whole thing about never, ever, ever. Let me tell you where that emotion comes from. Let me tell you where that happened, because it happened in me. Let me just understand. Where does things will never change come from? Well, it comes and I give it to you in the truth in your outline. It is the nature of our sin nature to doubt the goodness and the faithfulness of God. That's what's in me that doubts him. And it'll do it every day. It's a constant thing. Romans 8, verse 6. The old sinful nature within us is against God. It never will obey God's law. Listen, if I let it, my flesh nature will drive a nail into the coffin of the dearest desires of my heart that I am looking for God to fulfill. Every promise God has given me, every hope he's laid in my heart, my flesh nature will drive a nail into the coffin to kill that. Because it is against God. There's something in me that fights it. Now listen, the God who awakened you to your sinfulness. There was one day we woke up that we were sinners. Would you agree with that? Amen. Huh? Amen. All of a sudden, you just realized, I'm a sinner. And you saw it for the first time in your life. And when that happened, it's like you heard a voice inside of you, and that was God calling you. And you knew it was him. And he convicted you. You saw your sin. And you knew you needed Jesus. It's like that day Christ told me in my dormitory room at college. He said, you've never asked me to save you. And I knew immediately if I died, I would have gone to a devil's hell. That kind of incident that all of us who know Christ have had. Let me tell you something. That God who did all of that for you, that same God has a great plan for you. God's got a plan. The very fact that I'm here means God has a plan for me, and he's got a plan for you, and it's a good plan, and he has a life purpose that is perfectly suited for you that will give your life meaning and fulfillment. There is hope. There is a future for you only if you are obedient to the God who has called you. That God has got a plan, and he's not asking for your input. Stay out of it. Lord, what do you want me to do? Look at the insight in your outline. God's plan for you also has a specific schedule totally different from yours. That was an eye-opener to me. That means that in your present time of waiting on the Lord to answer your prayer and your longing, even when you don't see him working, God is working. He's doing something. Isaiah 64, verse 4. God acts on behalf of the one who waits for him. Now listen, God is saying to you this morning, no matter how long you've got to wait for what it is you yearn for, getting married, getting a new job, getting that house, getting whatever, getting to wherever you want to be, seeing these changes, you can trust the Father to lead you and know for absolute certain he's got your very best interest in mind. But that brings me to my second thought this morning, and that is, in order to get to what God has for me and for you, there's a necessity of waiting. Waiting for God's timing and God's wisdom is one of the most important lessons that you and I can learn. So here's the truth I want you to see. Now watch this. It always takes faith to wait on God's schedule. It always takes faith. If you want your life led by God, it will take faith for you not to get ahead of him. It will take faith for you to be still and to wait on him. Let me tell you what that means. You cannot have faith if you can see how it works. That's not faith. If you can see how this will work out, if you can see how all this is going to come together, then it's not faith. Faith is when you, there is no way in the world this is going to work. Do you believe him or not? Well, if you believe him, that's faith. Because you're saying, this is like a walking on water experiment here, God. There is no way on this planet this is going to work. Faith means you're not going to be able to understand, why am I having to wait? You're not going to be able to see how what you are going through has anything in this whole wide world to do with what you want. How in the world does that connect with this and what I want going on more? It just doesn't make sense. I'm having to go through this. I'm having to experience all of this in order to get where I'm going to go. It's not going to make any sense in the world. Why? Because it's going to take faith. Has not God said, your ways are not my ways? Your thoughts are not my thoughts. There's no way you and God are alike. So here's the thing. If you really want to live the Christian life, if you want all that God will put into your life, if you want the blessings of heaven, you have to learn to wait on the schedule of God, his schedule. So I want to show you, and I put them in just some blanks in your outline. I want to give you the address in the Bible. I just want you to listen. How many times the Bible talks about waiting on God? Psalm 25, verse 2 and 3. Oh my God, in you I trust. Indeed, none of those who wait for you will be ashamed. Psalm 27, verse 14. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and let your heart take courage. Yes, wait for the Lord. Psalm 37, 34. Don't be impatient for the Lord to act. What does that mean? Wait. Keep traveling steadily along his pathway, and in due season, at his time, he will honor you with every blessing. Psalm 62 and 5 and 6. My soul, wait in silence for God only, for my hope is from him. He only is my rock and my salvation, my stronghold. I shall not be shaken. Psalm 147, verse 11. The Lord favors those who fear him. The Lord favors those who wait for his loving kindness. Isaiah 30, verse 18. The Lord longs to be gracious to you, and therefore he waits on high to have compassion on you. For the Lord is a God of justice. How blessed are those who long for him. Isaiah 40, 31. Those who wait for the Lord will gain new strength. They will mount up with wings like eagles, run and not get tired, walk and not become weary. Only because they wait on him. Isaiah 49, verse 23. You will know that I am the Lord. Those who hopefully wait for me will not be put to shame. Isaiah 64, verse 4. From days of old, they have not heard or perceived by ear, nor has the eye seen a God besides you who acts in behalf of those who wait for him. Lamentations 3, 25 and 26. The Lord is good to those who wait for him, to the person who seeks him. It is good that he waits silently for the salvation of the Lord. Hebrews 2, verse 3. The vision is yet for the appointed time. It hastens toward the goal. It will not fail. Though it tarry, wait for it. For it will certainly come. It will not delay. Romans 8, 24, 25. Hope that is seen is not hope, for who hopes for what he already sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, then with perseverance we wait eagerly for it. See, there's one consistent lesson of my Father in my life, and it is, John, if you want to be blessed by me, do not get ahead of me. If you want to be blessed by me, listen to me. If you want to be blessed by me, if you want me to go in front of you, if you want me to take care of you, if you want me to provide for you, if you want me to protect you, if you want me to open up your mind, if you want anything you want from me, then wait for me. Wait for me if you want what I've got for you. Which brings us, number three, to the battle of hope. Insight. The road to heaven is one of trusting the faithfulness of God when heaven is seemingly indifferent to our prayers for deliverance. Because most likely, if you're in a pit, you've been crying out to God, Lord, help me, deliver me, show me what I'm supposed to do. And it's like God is on a vacation. It's like all of a sudden your telephone line to heaven has been cut. And nobody, they're either not answering or they're not at home or something bad has happened. And so the biggest challenge is to wait on him. And it gets hard. It is so difficult to not do something to try to make something happen. Now listen, when I try to make something happen, that's where stuff goes south on me. When I make it happen. Because I'm not listening to him. Let me give you an example. David. And you can just write this down. You look at it later. Chapter 1 Samuel chapter 16 through 26. There are 10 chapters there that are provocative to read. David at the time that he was first introduced to us was probably about 16 years of age. Samuel, under God's leadership, anointed David to be king over Israel in the years to come. And God sovereignly then began to work in David's life, and he thrust David into the limelight. David all of a sudden became somebody that everybody's eyes were on him, particularly King Saul. And in 1 Samuel 16, 22, Saul said, David has found favor in my sight. He had the favor of the king. And I mean, everything starts to go in his way. David winds up becoming the son-in-law to King Saul, marries his only daughter. And he becomes like one of the main generals in the army. Everything is going great. And then all of a sudden, at the height of everything, all these blessings and all the favor of God, everything goes south, just seemingly overnight. 1 Samuel 18, 28. This is when David gets in the pit. When Saul saw and knew that the Lord was with David, Saul was even more afraid of David, and thus Saul was David's enemy continually, and he told Jonathan, his son, and all of his servants, put David to death. And so it's like all of a sudden, David goes from being like the prince that is going to be the next king to being public enemy number one. He is forced to flee. He cannot be in public anymore. He becomes a rogue. He leads a band of ruffians, like the offscouring of the earth. And 1 Samuel 24, 13 says, Saul hunted him day after day. It was relentless in this pit that he couldn't extricate himself from. 1 Samuel chapter 24 and chapter 26. Two times, David's men urged David because King Saul was right in David's hands. One time Saul was asleep, the other time he was in a cave. And they said, he's in your hands, kill him. This is an opportunity of God. David had the opportunity to take matters into his own hands, but he didn't. Listen to what he said. Far be it from me that I should stretch out my hand, that I should make it happen, that I should make it happen, what God has promised me. That I would stretch out my hand and take the life of the king. Why? Because he is the Lord's anointed. What was David doing? He was trusting God in the dark. Look at the truth in your outline. David didn't kill Saul because he honored God's timing. God said, you will be the king. But it's not happening now. Will you wait on me to bring it to pass? Or are you going to try to make it happen on your own? How do I know that? Psalm 27, 13, David said, I would have despaired. In other words, I would have taken matters into my own hands unless I had believed I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. In other words, God's not delivering me. He's not answering my prayers, but I believe in his time. He will be faithful to me. It is dark now, but I believe life's going to change because I've heard his promise. I know what God has said to me. So that brings me to the last thought this morning, and that is this. What do you do when heaven waits? What do you do when heaven waits? I'm going to give you three or four things, and I'm done. Number one, when heaven is waiting, I need to accept the direction of God in my life. In other words, one of the things God wants you to remember is do not get ahead of the Lord. Do not get ahead of him. Whenever you come to an important decision in your life, your first thing should not be to seek out what your friends think. Your first thing should not be, what do my advisors think? And Lord help, your first thing ought not be, what does it say on the internet? No. You seek the Lord first, and you wait for him. David learned to listen. And when he learned to listen, when God made him king, David had one success after another with the enemies of God, all the armies that came against him. David had success with every enemy. You know why? Because he had learned how to listen for the voice of God. And God told him what to do. And 1 Chronicles 14:17 says, the fame of David went out to all the lands, and the Lord brought the fear of David on all the nations. Let me tell you something. God says, I know how to promote you. I can promote you. I can lift you up in anybody's eyes. I can make people's hearts turn toward you in order to fulfill whatever my plan is for you in your life. But God said, it means listen to me. Get in your heart, get before me, learn what it is I want to do in your life, and then wait on me. So the first thing, accept his direction. Number two, value his timing. Do you want God to go before you in life to fight for you, provide for you what you can't possibly provide or make happen? You see, here's the thing. One of the things I've learned, if my desire is to be obedient to God, for God to be with me and for me to be with the Lord, then here's what I found out. I think it is true that most often what we desire and want in life because we're chasing after him is also what God wants for us. In other words, our desires reflect his heart. The issue is timing. The fact that I want this and I'm seeking to walk in total obedience to him is an indication it's also what the Father wants for me. The issue is, am I going to make it happen or am I going to wait on the Lord? You know, whether it's you want to get married, whether it's you want a promotion in job, you know, whatever it is. If you have a desire to be promoted, if you have a desire you want to be married, God hasn't given you the gift of celibacy, but there's just nobody there yet. You are wanting it most likely if you're seeking after him first, because that's what God wants for your life as well. The issue is timing. And as you wait on God, here's what God said. Listen, he said, as you wait on me, understand, even when you cannot see me, I am working. And I am causing key puzzle pieces to fall into place. I am changing hearts. I am working circumstances around so that I can bless you with what it is that I want to give you. So here's the truth in your outline. Delays are not denials. They are strategy to fulfill God's plan for our lives. He's doing something. The third insight is delay is preparation. Here's the truth. The gift of God that's going to bless you tomorrow could destroy you today. And you've got to trust the Lord in that. If God is not giving me something, if he's not giving you something, and you know that this is like a dream you've got in your heart, then what God is saying is there's something in you that still needs to change. Because if I give this to you now, it's not going to help you, it's going to hurt you. Why? Because you're not ready for it. You can't handle it. It will handle you. And so God says, I want you to wait. I've got a timetable. Don't circumvent, because if you do, if you go around me, what is meant to be a blessing will be a curse in your life. And then number four, never give up. Your season of waiting is for a purpose. And listen, to be still, if you wait till he opens the door ahead of you, you will not be disappointed. Wait. Wait. Let's bow our heads for just a moment. I want to ask this morning, we're going to have a little bit of music for you, a little background. And I want to call on you to come from all over this auditorium this morning. because you understand in your heart where I've been. You understand in your heart because you have been in a pit as well. Maybe you are in that pit. There are three things I want to ask of you this morning. Three points of you saying yes to the Father. This morning, if you realize that you're in a pit, God is wanting to hear three things from you. Number one, that in coming forward this morning, you're saying, Father, I want to commit myself afresh to wait on you. I want to wait on you. I don't want to get ahead of you. God, I want your best. I don't want second best. I don't want second and a half best. I want the best. And I want to wait for your best for me. And number three, I'm going to lay aside the spirit of heaviness. And I, this morning, I want to leave here with the joy of the Lord. My life's going to work out. My life is not a failure. You've got plans for me. And I am going to live for you, and I'm going to wait on you, and I'm going to follow you. And that's my commitment this morning. So let's stand together, would you please, as the music begins. I want to ask you, we're going to pray together, and I'm going to ask you.